child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, who shepherds God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him love, the babe, the Son, the Mary. While I
from the Gospel of John, chapter 12 to 19, from the New Living Translation. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who soon would betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some from them for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial." Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and to return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now Jesus was deeply troubled, and he exclaimed, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at each other, wondering whom he could mean. The disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Simon Peter motioned to him to ask, "Who's he talking about?" So that disciple leaned over to Jesus and said, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus responded, "It is the one to whom I give the bread I dip in the bowl." And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. When Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, "Hurry, do what you're going to do." None of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was their treasure, some thought Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him."
After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet them. "Who are you looking for?" he asked. "Jesus the Nazarene," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, "I am he," they all drew back and fell to the ground. Once more he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And again they replied, "Jesus the Nazarene." "I told you that I am he," Jesus said. "And since I am the one you want, let these others go." He did this to fulfill his own statement, "I did not lose a single one of those you have given me." Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their commanding officer, and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. First they took him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at that time. Caiaphas was the one who had told the other Jewish leaders, "It's better that one man should die for the people." Inside, the high priest began asking Jesus about his followers and what he had been teaching them. Jesus replied, "Everyone knows what I teach. I have preached regularly in the synagogues and the temple where the people gather. I have not spoken in secret. Why are you asking me this question? Ask those who have heard me. They know what I said." Then one of the temple guards standing nearby slapped Jesus across the face. "Is that the way to answer the high priest?" he demanded. Jesus replied, "If I said anything wrong, you must prove it. But I'm speaking the truth. Why are you beating me?" Then Annas bound Jesus and sent him to Caiaphas, the high priest.
above all powers, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on. Kingdoms, above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me.
Trial before Caiaphas ended in the early hours of the morning. Then he was taken to the headquarters of the Roman governor. His accusers didn't go inside because it would defile them, and they wouldn't be allowed to celebrate the Passover. So Pilate, the governor, went out to them and asked, "What is your charge against this man?" "We wouldn't have handed him over to you if he weren't a criminal," they retorted. "Then take him away and judge him by your own law," Pilate told them. "Only the Romans are permitted to execute someone," the Jewish leaders replied. This fulfilled Jesus' prediction about the way he would die. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. "Are you the King of the Jews?" he asked him. Jesus replied, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus responded, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. What is truth? Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them, He is not guilty of any crime, but you have a custom of asking me to release one prisoner each year at Passover. Would you like me to release this king of the Jews? But they shouted back, No, not this man. We want Barabbas. Barabbas was a revolutionary. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put a purple robe on him. Hail, King of the Jews, they mocked as they slapped him across the face. Pilate went outside again and said to the people, I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty. Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, Look, here is the man.
When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting, Crucify him! Crucify him! Take him yourselves and crucify him, Pilate said. I find him not guilty. The Jewish leaders replied, By our law he ought to die, because he called himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, Where are you from? But Jesus gave no answer. Why don't you talk to me? Pilate demanded. Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you? Then Jesus said, You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin. Then Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leaders shouted, If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who declares himself a king is a rebel against Caesar. When they saw this, Pilate brought Jesus out to them again. Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat on the platform that is called the stone pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was now about noon on the day of preparation for the Passover, and Pilate said to the people, Look, here is your king. Away with him, they yelled. Away with him, crucify him. What? Crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the leading priest shouted back. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Place of the Skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, Dear woman, here is your son. And he said to the disciple, Here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, It is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Just steep, governed by your grace so free. Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now I've found the greatest love of all. Since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am.
It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was a Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was Passover week. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken. Then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and they broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you also may continue to believe. These things happened in fulfillment of the scriptures that say, not one of his bones will be broken, and they'll look on the one they pierced. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus, because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. And when Pilate gave him permission, Joseph came and he took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. And he brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. And following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. The place of crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb, never used before. And so because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
It's at the cross where Jesus gave it all. So it's at the cross where I let my world fall. And every time I'm reminded of the cross, when I survey the wondrous cross. Mine, that word.
Isaac Watts, the author of that hymn, reflecting on the events that we've been reading about this morning. He ends the hymn with his own declaration that the divine love that stands behind the death of Jesus demands absolutely all of us, our soul, our life, our all. Good Friday is the church's day when we center our thoughts and our hearts and our reflections on the cross, the wooden beam, the wooden structure, on which Roman soldiers nailed Jesus of Nazareth and then hung him several feet off the ground, essentially suspended between sky and earth, or you could say between the heavens and earth. Jesus Christ filling the gap between God and humanity. The death of Jesus would, of course, become understood as the pivotal event in history that made it possible for humans to cross that gap, to cross that chasm that exists between them and God. This was the culmination of God's rescue plan. This was the crowning moment in God's loving pursuit of you and I. This was God making a way for sin to be dealt with finally. It is finished. Responding to the God then who made all of this happen is our gateway, it is the gate to a life of true hope, humanity's only hope. And so having stepped through that gateway, having trusted in and hoped in and put our faith in Jesus, the call then is to live a life, journey with God. Our call is to a grand adventure of faith, a turning away from destructive attitudes and patterns of behavior, and a turning towards God's kingdom values, a reordering of our lives around what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, the joining with him in bringing hope to people who as of yet still remain in darkness. This is what Isaac Watts meant in some small way when he said, "It demands my soul, my life, my all." But Good Friday is about reflecting not only on the cross's benefit to us, but also on the cost for Jesus of the cross. And so we read about the betrayal of a close friend. We read about the arrest in the garden, the trial. We read about God's people shouting, "We have no king but Caesar. Caesar!" How far had they fallen and how deep their rejection of Jesus truly was. We read about the slapping and the mocking and the beating and the crucifying. We read about his death, the death of the Son of God. Another way in which we reflect on the death today is through communion. And communion is for all those people who can say, "Jesus is mine and I am his." And as we take communion today, which is eating a small cracker and drinking a small amount of juice, what we are doing is remembering with other senses what happened to Jesus and the cost that came via physical body and shed blood. I'm going to ask our communion servers if they'll go to the stations, please. Church family, we have five stations. We have two at the front here, two at the back, and one up in the balcony. And in just a moment, the worship team are going to lead us in another song. During that time, I'm going to ask you to move to the station that you are closest to, collect a cracker and some juice, and return to your seat. And we will take those together. If mobility, standing in a line, is a mobility challenge for you, just stay where you are, just raise your hand, and we'll have some people bring the elements to you. So back to Matthew.
Thank you.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you.
Where your love ran red and my sin cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you.
As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." All you who know him, let's eat together. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God." All you who know him, let's drink together. Oh God, on this Good Friday, we come to you with thanksgiving in our heart that is so deep. Lord, Father, that you would give your only Son willingly to the path in which he took is an unfathomable thing to do. Lord Jesus Christ, that you would willingly go to your death knowing what you would have to endure is an unfathomable thing. And so, Lord, we can only respond with awe and wonder and joy and thanksgiving and humility. So, Lord, we love you. We offer up our thanks to you. We are astounded again by the story that we've heard today. We love you deeply, and we offer you our lives. We offer you our hopes and dreams. We offer you our obedience and worship. And we recognize that this cross demands our soul, our life, our all. We love you. Thank you. Amen. Church family, the worship team are going to lead us in two more songs, and then the service will be ended. I will not come and close the service purposefully because it isn't finished. We will return on Sunday. So once the two songs are done, I'm just going to suggest that you just head out if you like. If you'd rather remain and continue to pray, feel free to do that. But here's the one thing I just request of you, that we do it in silence. I'd like us to maintain a sense of somber reflection as we leave. So it's great if you want to visit together, but please would you hold off and do that in the breezeway, in the parking lot. Let's just leave quietly and allow people to reflect if they want to. After the second song, over to Matthew.
days of suffering, the heaviness amidst the darkness, the weight alone will it crush my bones. Oh God, let me consider sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that's gone. In my weakest hour, no words have I left to pray, but it is here. Your Spirit will call out for me, and He cries out. Bye. and I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Sing it out. Amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be that you took my king? Died for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven.
That you, my King, would die for me.